Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony got on his bus for New Orleans last night, and there's only one thing, one, worse than a 20-hour bus trip.
Bam! Bam!
I told you.
Bam! Bam! Get out of the way!
Much worse. Much worse.
Coming through!
All right, Ralph Cramden.
Get out of the road! You're going to be on my tires!
You know Tony's sleeping. He's not blowing a horn at anybody. Welcome to PTI. Tony is out snacking on roadkill, so I'm joined by our good friend Dan Levitard of the Miami Herald. Let's begin with the National League East. The Mets-Phillies race took a dramatic turn last night. The Mets blew a pair of three-run leads, the second one in the ninth inning against the Marlins. That crushing loss in the 10th, combined with the Phillies' come-from-behind victory over the Nationals, puts Philly within a game and a half of the Mets with 9 days left in the regular season. Mets manager Willie Randolph said, quote, "We're definitely making it tough on ourselves, huh?" Close quote. Danny, how tough?
Look at the Phillies celebrating that. It's tough to play baseball when the water in the room is rising on you, and they're up to here right now, and they're not a good team. That's part of the problem. For 4 months now, Mike, for 4 months, not 2 months, not 3 months, they've been a 500 team. So when someone's catching up to you and you're not that good to begin with, it's awfully hard to hold them
and
back.
And they sort of play. Willie Randolph played the high confidence card already. When a couple of days earlier, when they were creeping up, I'm sorry, Philly was creeping up on the Mets, he said, you know what, all this drama, we're sipping champagne, it won't be a big deal.
Right.
But it's a nice card to play if you can get your team to respond immediately. They bumped the lead back up to 2.5, but now back down to a game and a half. I watched that game live last night. It was crushing to have a three-run lead off a three-run triple, pinch hit triple, and lose the game.
They keep having crippling games since the Phillies swept them in four games to get back into this thing in a meaningful way. It's not just that the Mets are losing. It's the way that they're losing. They're losing in these soul-destroying ways. And, you know, I mean,
it's tough to rebound from.
We will forget if they're sipping champagne.
Okay, so here's a question. Are the Mets going to hold
on? Well, here's the thing. The Brewers, you remember, they were fighting with each other. The Brewers were fighting each other, and it didn't matter. They're still in it, right? Yes, they're going to hold on. Staying in baseball, some bozo Seattle reliever named Jorge Campillo likes to show fake toughness by throwing up and in at Vladimir Guerrero. The stoic, exceptional Guerrero countered by hitting a huge home run and then pimping out his trot. So next time up, Campillo threw around Guerrero's head again. Mike Socia wants Campillo suspended for a month. I think he's being lenient. What about you?
Well, considering baseball doesn't tend to do anything about these things, or somebody gets a small suspension.
They need Roger Goodell.
They just need to say, you know what, you're gone for a month. If they did a month, Danny, if they actually did, this is inexcusable. So when a player takes a bat, I think you were sitting there for Tony once before, and somebody took a bat out there, and I said, good. Because that baseball's a weapon. The baseball's a weapon as much as the bat is a weapon. And if Vladimir Guerrero had gone out there and done whatever, this is a career-threatening, health-threatening
moment. How do you think the reaction would have been? Because I wouldn't have blamed Guerrero either if he had come out with a bat.
I wouldn't have.
But what do you think the reaction would have been after this guy? Guerrero answered him the way you're supposed to answer
him. They would have suspended Guerrero because it's the gutless thing to do. Because they just let pitchers run amok and they act like batters are supposed. Look, I understand brushback pitches. I understand occasionally if you plunk somebody here. You know, but to throw at somebody's head like this, you have to be thrown out for a long time.
Seattle will get mad at him for doing this. I've been in clubhouses before when Antonio Alfonseca did it, and he was crying because the veterans on his own team were telling him.
Because they know the retaliation is coming.
Yeah, but not after someone hits a home run. Maybe if you're protected
stood up
on your own.
That wasn't protection.
That wasn't protection at all. That's just a dangerous baby.
You're right about that. Some big-name quarterbacks moving to the NFL are on the hot seat already. In Chicago, where the Bears are hosting the Cowboys Sunday night, Rex Grossman's job is clearly on the line. In Philly, where the Eagles were booed Monday night in the home opener, Donovan McNabb's 5 Pro Bowl appearances and 4 trips to the NFC Championship game won't mean diddly if he can't lead the Eagles past the Lions. Danny, who's facing more pressure Sunday, Rex or Donovan?
This one's tough because Rex is a half away from losing his job, losing a job on a team that's a Super Bowl team. But Donovan, if he loses this game, their season's done. 0-3, you don't rally from 0-3 in this league to make the playoffs. So he's got to win this game. I still think
Rex has more pressure. One, Donovan's played the pressure of Philadelphia all the time. He's played with the pressure of coming back from injuries. He's been to those 4 title games. He's been to the Super Bowl once. I think he knows how to respond more to that. We haven't seen Rex respond in that way to this. And he's a free agent. The Bears have not extended his contract. The fact that they haven't extended his contract, and he's a franchise quarterback, says,
but
we don't think we want him.
He can play poorly, though, and they could still win. McNabb can't play poorly and have Philadelphia win.
I agree, Danny, but if he plays poorly, they're going to sit him. I don't see him playing a poor first half and surviving. Not again this week. The Bears have too much at stake. The other thing about Donovan in Philly is he has something in the bank. As tough as Philly is, as impossible as it can be, he has something in the bank.
You think Lovie Smith pulls him even if they're winning? Because that would be...
If he's played poorly and thrown a couple of picks...
But if they're winning, I can see scenarios. Moving to basketball, Andre Kirilenko is so unhappy in Utah that he told a Russian newspaper he's willing to walk away from a $63 million contract and play overseas. The worst-kept secret in the league is that nobody likes to play for dictator Jerry Sloan.
Hey.
But can it be, possibly, give back $63 million, give away your NBA career off?
Look, this Kirilenko, I mean, he's an emotional guy, is mild, okay? We saw this guy crying on national TV. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of things going on in his life, most of which I'm sure we don't even understand. Karl Malone and John Stockton never had a problem playing for Jerry Sloan. Darren Williams, to get a young guy, different generation, he loves playing for Jerry Sloan. I see this as purely a Kirilenko issue. Now, Danny, he's a talented guy, can do a lot of things on the floor, but you are taking a risk if you acquire Andre Kirilenko. I know there are teams who would take that chance. I don't know that I would.
He's supremely talented, and this is what's happened to him. He's been Americanized because he was the star of a bad Utah team.
That's right.
He was their best player.
Took all the shots, got all the glory.
And now Carlos Boozer and Darren Williams are the stars.
But they still need him.
It's not
like Kirilenko has been banished, like he's been marginalized. Kirilenko is still a critical part of that team. What we saw last year is when his emotions are okay, when he's up, he plays well. When he's sobbing on TV, he's troubled.
They're not giving him very many minutes either, though.
He's getting enough minutes.
I don't think he likes playing specifically for that coach. I don't think it's a problem with Utah. He does have the best nickname in all of sports, though.
AK-47,
a Russian weapon.
When he was going well, he was playing for that coach because that coach has been there forever.
I don't think he's like playing for that
coach. You know what? He's got a problem then. Danny, since Tony's not here, I feel like engaging in a little soccer discussion. Brazilian star Kerlon. You think he's got a second name? He doesn't.
Nope.
Sends fans into a frenzy when he dribbles the ball off his head like a seal to get past defenders. But as you can see, opponents are not happy. Boom! One rival coach says Kerlon might be sidelined for several years if he gets kicked in the face. The kid's been roughed up, leading to scuffles. Danny, is this Brazilian artistry or disrespectful hot dog?
It's both, and it's fun, and it's great, and it's the best play in soccer outside of the bicycle kick goal. How great is it to watch that right there? Who? Why are we objecting to that?
Well,
make a rule against it.
I didn't know enough about soccer, and I've been trying to read up to see if this move is illegal.
No,
and apparently
it's
not.
Illegal? Behaving like a seal is not illegal. You can do it at any time in any
sport
you
knew
that
this?
You want to.
Dribbling the ball
here's what's the rule.
Say you're dribbling the ball off your head in a basketball game doesn't get you caught. Even in the NBA, with traveling, you can't do that. But I think it's interesting that in soccer, it seems like half the international community says, hey, leave him alone. He's 5'5", he's 19 years old, and he's got this thing. He's been one of the top juniors in the country where soccer really matters.
I think we need
on the other hand, a lot of people want this guy's head on a platter.
Well, because he's disrespecting the game, right? Don't we have this tension between young and old respect the game guys all across sports?
Yes, we do.
Isn't that
every
what
game.
T.O. is getting in trouble for and Chad Johnson?
But you know what's also illegal? Taking the forearm like some Oakland Raider.
That's illegal.
He got a yellow card.
That's
illegal.
He didn't
get kicked.
You
can't he didn't get a red
that.
Card, did he?
Stop the seal.
He did it.
Stop the seal with
We're
your
taking
footwork.
A break, oop, even for oop, soccer. Oop. When we come back, the oop. Red Sox lead over the Yankees is down to a game
like
and a half.
Seal.
We're going to ask Terry Francona how concerned he is. And later, the Texans have had a nice start. But is there any chance they can upset the champs on Sunday? I ain't talking about the Carolina Panthers. The champs. The Boston Red Sox are virtually assured of making the playoffs, but plenty of folks in Boston are freaking out that their divisional lead over the Yankees is down to a game and a half. We welcome in Red Sox manager Terry Francona. Terry, how have you been feeling these last few days?
Well, I had the flu yesterday, so I would say not good. Referring more to your question, you can't lose a game in Boston and feel good, whether it's April, May, June, July. Most of us that have been through this understand it. We certainly try to explain it to everybody else because our goal is to win, and sometimes doing it in our atmosphere can be a little crazy.
Yeah, very crazy because we keep hearing and reading and listening to the reaction coming out of New England. But as a matter of reality, Does it matter if you win the division? I mean, how do you, are you one of those managers, Terry, who believes in momentum from regular season going into the playoffs?
Yeah, does it matter? Yeah, of course it does. Does it mean, does it give you a better chance to win the World Series? I don't know.
Because you guys won from the wild card spot. You guys won the World Series.
I know. And I understand that. And because our lead has shrunk, I don't want to back off what it means to win a division because I know it's important. It's important to our franchise, to our players, to me, the fans. But does it help win the World Series? I can't sit here and say yes.
The fine people of Boston have to be freaking out because of history. Are they yelling at you in restaurants? You got to have some good stories about freaking out all around you, no? Or do you just put your blinders on?
Well, we're on the road. I do know when my four kids are calling me within 20 minutes to check on me, there's probably things being said. You know what? We're okay. You get used to it. If you don't get used to it, you can't handle it. I've said this before. You got the wrong guy or the wrong people, and I don't think that. You have to endure some tough times. No season goes that easy, and we'll fight through it, and I think we'll be successful. That's all I've always felt.
Has this been the most difficult thing you've endured this season? Because it has been, relatively speaking, a pretty easy run, a pretty comfy lead.
Well, again, I don't think we viewed it like that ever either. Every time we lost a game, it hurt, and every time we won a game, it was okay. This hasn't been an especially horrible. We lost the last game to the Yankees, and we got swept up in Toronto. It's not like we've lost 19-20. We just are doing it in a place where there's a lot of passion and a lot of caring. And, you know, again, we need to come down and play better, but we know that.
How concerned are you about your bullpen? I mean, Gagne has struggled, Papelbon a little bit lately. You got some injuries there, too. How concerned are you?
Well, I don't know about Pap struggling. I mean, the situations we brought him in, he almost got out of it the other day. Sometimes I think you have to look a little bit beyond just the result. Pap's been borderline untouchable for the most part. Gagne, we got to get straightened out. Okajima, we're in the midst of getting him straightened out. So, yeah, are we taking it on the chin a little bit the last few days? Yeah, but I think we can straighten it out and be successful down the road.
One of the reasons it hasn't been a totally smooth ride all the way is that Manny Ramirez has been out for about 4 weeks now, Terry. When do you expect him back? And is it possible that if he's healthy, you guys wouldn't even be in this predicament? We wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, I don't think it's been 4 weeks, but it's been about three. And we don't know quite when to expect him back. With the oblique, we want him back 10 days ago. He's one of the best hitters in the game, and part of the reason you didn't hear anything about it early was because Ellsbury is playing so well. Now, again, we lose a few games, and here comes the uproar. We miss him. He knows it. He misses playing. We'll get him back when we get him back. When guys are injured, you bring him back too early and just make it worse.
You have a soft landing spot, and if you don't win the division, the Mets don't. Do you look across? Do you have time to look across leagues and have empathy for Willie Randolph?
You know what? When we lose games, I want everybody to lose. There's not enough teams in baseball. but you know what? I haven't looked. I've been pretty busy looking at our situation. You know, there's nights when you go back home, and I can't even turn on Sports Center or whatever, because you just want every team in any league to lose.
We love that honesty. All right, we're going to let you get away with this one. And an honest answer to this will really impress us, Terry. Tell us now the truth. Do you operate spy cams?
Was there a rest of that sentence?
We know signal stealing is a big part of baseball. We're just wondering. It's been the biggest story in New England for about a week now.
Yeah, I think we wanted to help take some of the burden off the Patriots, so we went up to Toronto and got swept. Sounds like we did a good job.
didn't do a very good job of cheating.
Well, Terry, thank you. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Enjoy. Take care.
Thank you.
We're taking a break, but when we come back, Larry Johnson has asked to run the ball 40 times this Sunday. Will he get even close to that? And will Notre Dame score its first offensive touchdown tomorrow? Sounds like over-under is next.
Francona couldn't have gotten out of there any faster.
He's got a game. He got to go.
He didn't like our question.
He's got a losing streak to stop.
He was in a hurry. He could have thrown the headset at the television.
Time for the game that's hotter than the rumors about Marsha and Jan on the set of Brady Bunch. Whoa! Over under. Let's get the first one from our host, Tony Reality.
Wait a second. I want to hear more about those rumors of the Brady Bunch. First, over or under 7 incompletions for Tom Brady this weekend?
All right, Reality's going to hate this answer, but I got this mathematically worked out. You know, Brady is completing 79.7% of his passes, which is insane.
He can't keep that up.
Which would be a record by 10% if he, no, he can't. But I got him going 28 to 35 for 310 yards, 3 touchdowns against Buffalo to win. That's a push. 28-35.
You can't have a push.
Sure I can.
I got this game won.
What do you got?
McNabb and Tom Brady have had the same passer rating, essentially. McNabb and Tom Brady. The year that McNabb had Terrell Owens, he skyrocketed. He became Peyton Manning.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen with Tom Brady.
Randy
that's
Moss
what's
is there.
Be Tom Brady statistically.
You're not saying he's going to keep 79.7?
No, he's not going to keep it at 80%.
Over under. What do you
he's
got?
He's going to have more than 7 completions. He's going to more than 7 incompletions. He can't do it. He's just going to have some drops. There are going to be some drops in
they
there.
They don't drop the ball.
There are going to be some drops.
What's next?
You're just ridiculous, Wolfman. How can you push?
Push.
First over under.
Push.
I want to say we do not condone gambling in any way in over under. But are the Colts maybe 6 points better than the Texans on Sunday?
Well, you know what I got? I've got this game going to overtime.
Push.
Tied at
push.
20.
Then
going to overtime.
The
Texans,
push.
Who have never played a home game when they were above 500, 20-20. And then the Colts score a touchdown. They don't even kick the extra
another,
point.
Another
26-20. Push.
You
Andre, push.
Not with Andre Johnson out. I mean, the Colts are slower on grass. They're slower outdoors. They're slower on the road in general. Their offense.
Do you
they
know the roof will be open?
Bit.
Are you sure of that?
They're it's more of a labor for them when they go and they play the Tennessee.
I only got them scoring 26,
Andre
not
Johnson,
40.
Who is Schaub going to throw the ball to? Who with Andre Johnson's one of the top 5 receivers
you know
in the league.
Schaub has been almost as accurate as Brady through the first 2 weeks.
Because he has Andre Johnson.
To throw the ball
because
to.
Andre Johnson sits there and goes
over
six
under.
Yards
what do you got?
Time. I got the Colts covering. Even
right,
though we don't gamble.
Next up, over or under 35 carries for Larry Johnson Sunday.
I'm not going to push. I'm going to go under, okay? Because he went into Herm Edwards and said he wanted to carry 40 times. And Herm said, really, is that all 40, really, in one game? No, he's not going to carry 35. Guys never carry 40. They rarely carry 35 times. I got him carrying 28 times. He went 10 and then 16. 28's a big jump from those first 2 weeks.
He hasn't carried 35 times this entire season in 2 games. Now, everyone has been told that he plans to carry the ball 40 times.
And they
knew it already because
he's not.
They don't have to respect the pass on that team. Who are Kansas City's receivers? Damon Heward's banged up. So you don't, I mean, you can't run the ball. They won't be able to run the ball because he's going to have 20 carries for 26 yards because they don't have the threat
you
of anything
only
else.
You got him carrying 20
they're gonna,
times?
They're going to fall behind. Their defense isn't going to
wow.
stop anybody. They're the worst team
in
the league outside of Atlanta.
What's next?
Next, over or under, 2 more seasons for Brett Favre.
Push! I've got him going 2 more seasons. Here's the deal. Favre started this with his own speculation, you know, in his press conference where he talks about how long he's going to stay. Look, he'll stay 1 more season after this because they're playing well. If he keeps playing well, an additional season is a lock. But a third season? You want me to go over and say 3 seasons? No. He'd be 40 years old. No.
Weren't we
2 seasons.
But weren't we wondering
push.
Just like a couple
yeah.
of weeks ago whether he was going to come back
one
at
season.
All?
One season. But he's back now.
So you got 2 seasons after this one? After
no, 2
this
more
one.
Seasons.
This season
this
and
season
the next
season. And next season. He's killing my glasses.
Sorry
what?
About that. Brett Favre, I know he's the patron saint for all that is good in sports, but he's pretty selfish, isn't he? I mean, he says he'll come if they're good and if they're not good.
Does that
good,
mean you got to do what? Are they going to be good or not?
No, they're not going to be good enough for him to play
under?
2 more seasons. Under.
Wow.
I won.
No. With all this pushing, Dan, you look like Don Larson out here. I'm just waiting for Yogi Berra to jump into your arms. Last one, over or under, 1 offensive touchdown for Notre Dame tomorrow.
Now, you know, Notre Dame playing at home against Michigan State where the Irish are a 14-point home underdog. They've not scored an offensive touchdown this season. The only touchdowns have come from defense. I'm going to go over. I'm picking Notre Dame to win this game outright.
Oh, get out of here.
I'm picking Notre Dame to
based
cover.
Based on what?
No, maybe not cover.
Based on what?
But Notre Dame's going to score 3 offensive touchdowns.
Wait,
3.
If they win the
3.
Game outright, they do
Charlie
cover.
Weiss is they the third what? Start for Jimmy Clausen. He's in the offense.
What are you talking
over
about?
3
What
touchdowns.
Happened to your boy, Charlie Weiss? You've been making fun of me because
so
I told you. Charlie Weiss thinks he's smarter than everyone else. I've got a competitive advantage because I played for champions. Now he doesn't have Tom Brady anymore. He can't score
Ooh.
Any touchdowns.
You
want
to say under? You
want to
say no offensive touchdowns?
What evidence do you have that this team isn't allergic to the end zone? Is it fundamentally allergic that they get rashes
he's
when they get near
Notre
the goal
Dame
line?
Harder than I ever do. That's it. Over under is over. Let's take a break. But when we come back, the NFL destroys every shred of spy cam evidence. Sure. Right.
That's what Charlie Weiss has to do. He's got to start cheating. Then they'll score a field goal.
Pardon the interruption. Presented by Guinness Draft Stout. Drink responsibly.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get happy. Happy 48th birthday, Stan Van Gundy. He already got his birthday gift, a job. Nearly 2 years after being sacked by your boy, Pat Riley, Van Gundy will stay in the division and coach Orlando and Dwight Howard. Danny, does Van Gundy have a shot of winning more games this year than Riley?
You have to root for him. He's one of the good guys you'll find anywhere in sports, and Miami's offseason has been dreadful.
Happy anniversary, Warren Sapp. On this day 4 years ago, Sapp caught a touchdown pass and mimicked Beyonce in Crazy in Love in the end zone with this nice little booty dance. Sapp is a PTI favorite. He's got 3 career touchdowns, which is pretty impressive for a defensive
What's
tackle.
What's funnier than the fat guy with the football? What's
oh, don't
funnier
call Warren
than
that? Fat. He's lost a lot of weight since that photo. Happy trails to the spy cam videotapes. The NFL says it has received all the tapes it requested from the Patriots and destroyed all the evidence. Of course, the league announced the Patriots have cooperated and complied fully, as if there was a chance the league would take some other position.
But Belichick is busy making some more tapes that they can't get to.
Time to find out what, if anything, we messed up, Reale.
Oh, you messed up over under, but aside from that, breaking news. Jorge Campillo, the man who threw at Vlad Guerrero, getting 4 games suspension and a fine. His manager got 1 game
Not
as well.
Enough.
Dan, the 92 Chargers went 0-4 to start the year, made the playoffs, so you can start poorly and make the playoffs. You joked about all Brazilian players having one name, Michael. I believe it's pronounced Kerry, and it's Kerry Mara Sousa. That's his name.
One name is good enough. What are you watching tonight, quick?
40-year-old virgin, you framed an Asia poster.
She watched Glenn Close and Damages, which I'm watching on TiVo. Compelling. Kind of dark, though. Welcome back to PTI. All right, Danny. Antonio Pierce was blowing an air horn during a Q&A, and Michael Strahan was reportedly surly. What are you reading into this?
The Giants are a wounded cow wandering into the Amazon, and the tabloid piranha are circling, and it's not going to be a quiet experience. These guys are going to continue to get mad because they're losing in the worst city in the world to lose in.
All that's true. But I covered football long enough to go to many, many practices and have these sessions with players in the locker room. And you know what you could do? You could go to San Francisco and talk to the 49ers when they were 13-1. Okay? Mm-hmm. And somebody might blow an air horn or be surly. Even Joe Montana, when he was in the middle of an MVP season, I don't read anything into it because the Giants at 10-6 are often surly. I will say this. I feel bad about what has evolved or devolved with Michael Strahan because as a reporter, he's been one of the best guys to talk to for years, one of the smartest, most entertaining, insightful guys in the league. And now, with him in the New York press, it is just this
They got to him, and I understand a lot of time why athletes and coaches get surly with the media.
Yes, I do, too.
Because we're asking them questions. We're questioning them, and we don't know as much
and
as they do.
And these are critical questions about their defense, which they didn't want to answer, apparently. The defense has been bad for 2 games.
These were dumb questions about their sideline demeanor, as if that had anything to do with anything.
It doesn't. And Strahan took exception to that. I don't know what the air horn is. Antonio Pierce answered some questions. He said, we're a bad team right now, but there are 14 games left. A lot of stuff, blowing air horn. It's just guys being guys in a football locker room situation.
Childish.
I don't want to read
it's
too
childish.
Much into
and
it.
And Tiki Barber hammering them. Tiki Barber's getting good at
Tiki's
hammering them.
He's hammering a lot of people now. Just 1 minute left. Let's go to the big finish. Miami beat down Texas A&M last night. You surprised?
I am surprised. I didn't think
I'm
that
not.
Offense could
I
move the ball.
It.
18-play drive to open the game. Notre Dame released Demetrius Jones from his scholarship as long as he doesn't play for a team on their schedule. Is that reasonable?
No. Notre Dame should stop being petty and release the kid from his scholarship. They don't want him. Let him go. Steve McNair will start Sunday for the Ravens, not Kyle Bowler. Smart move.
They don't trust Kyle Bowler at all, do they? Yeah,
any surprise there?
No. Sammy Sosa wants to play again in 08. Will someone give him the chance?
20 home runs and 90 runs batted in. Yes, somebody ought to and will give him the chance. Kevin Everett of the Bills was flown to Houston today for rehab, and doctors say he may walk again in a matter of weeks. How great is that?
It's a great story. It's the story of the
Wonderful
year so
story.
Far. Ken Griffey Jr. says his groin injury felt like someone bungee jumping off his right acorn. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun, does it?
I bet he didn't say acorn either. Last one. The Dogs at Bama tomorrow. Who you got?
Oh, you got to root against those Saban been lying. You got to root against Saban.
You got the Dogs.
Tony's back on Monday. I'm Dan Le Batard.
He's got the Dogs. I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a good weekend, knuckleheads.
If you like this edition of PTI, you may also like Around the Horn. All ESPN podcasts are free to download at the iTunes Music Store and on PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
PTI. Monday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Tuesday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Wednesday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Thursday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Friday, blue and red number 12. He's cute.
No matter where you are or what you're doing, every Friday this season is Dick's Sporting Goods Fan Friday. So wear your team out. Authentic Reebok licensed NFL apparel and gear available at Dick's Sporting Goods. Every season starts at Dick's.